Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Rockland LLC podcast. My name is Jason. I'm your host, and we're online at www.rockland.com. That's www.rockland.com. Our main issue of discussion today, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We've been doing some product testing and some product discussion as well. Last week, we talked about our Rockland Office Suite. This week, I'd like to focus on an issue, in fact. I guess you'd call it a political issue, though. My goal isn't really to get political about it. I don't want to take the side of a particular political party or anything of that nature. But there's this thing called net neutrality, and it really affects the internet in a great way. Consumers, businesses, pretty much anyone that uses the internet. And I don't think that our media has done a good job in really educating folks of the of what the act is, of what the Net Neutrality Act is, and what kind of impact it could have on us as consumers and us as businesses. So I just wanted to go over some information there and also provide you with some other places to go where you can get more information, because, you know, I certainly don't believe that anyone should just take someone else's word for something, that you should only have one source of information. But before I get into the discussion about net neutrality, just a couple announcements. Last week we had talked about the Rockland Office Software Suite, which, for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, is a software program that we put together. Consists of the OpenOffice.org Office Software Program. It's got a word processor, a spreadsheet program, presentation program, all of which are dually compatible with their Microsoft Office counterpart. So it's a real great program to have. It's an open source program, which we explained more in detail last week. In fact, rather than go on too much about it in detail, you can go to our website, www.rockland.com, and click on the podcasts link on the right side. It's the right side towards the top, and that'll actually list all of our podcasts. And if you go back for the week of September 18th and listen, you can get full details about the Rockland Office Software Suite. That's going to be launching on October 3rd, folks, so make sure to go online and purchase that on October 3rd. It's only going to be $5.99, and that includes free shipping. So it's a great holiday gift, great stocking stuffer, or just a great thing to pick up and review and check out. You know, hardly costs anything at all. So we've got that coming out on October 3rd. We've also got some new segments coming up in the weeks coming. We've been getting some listener feedback about the program and what they'd like to see and what they've liked so far. And we're going to be introducing a new segment, in fact, starting next week. We're going to be doing a book review. And it's not going to be a full-length, like, whole program book review where we bore you to tears or anything of that nature. But one of the emails that we got this week was from a customer who buys a lot of equipment from us, and he's starting up a small business, in fact, up in New York State. And he just, you know, he's really looking for a place, he said, where he can get information. And he comes to us for infrastructure to get his equipment, but he wanted some more information about, you know, how to begin the small business and get it up, and, you know, where, what channels online he can sell through and things of that nature. So, you know, rather than, again, you know, me giving too much information about that, he had suggested that it'd be great if we could, you know, review some small business books or books that are oriented toward business, things of that nature. And oddly enough, we had another email from a customer that requested that we, you know, perhaps get some books related to technology itself, books on wireless networking, and review those to give our customers more information about the technological specifics. In fact, I enjoyed this gentleman's email very much because he noted that there are a lot of people out there that don't know a lot about technology, and they go into a store like Best Buy or Circuit City, and they feel overwhelmed, but at the same time, they don't blame the stores per se. They just feel like they haven't had time to get, you know, educated about the latest technology, which is a real difficult task because technology is constantly changing. And he's felt that one way to perhaps become more attuned to the latest changes in the newest equipment is to really get folks more information about the actual technology that we're discussing. And I thought that was a good idea because sometimes I know myself, like when I'm doing this program, I have a tendency to spout out terminology, 802.11b, 802.11g, Wi-Fi, MIMO, stuff that I guess I think that folks might, you know, already know, but in reality, probably, you know, I know about it because I work in it every day. You know, our company sells this equipment, I know about it, but, you know, if I didn't work in this company, probably I wouldn't know what these terms meant, and many of our listeners may not either. So, beginning next week, we're going to have a brand new segment on book review, and, you know, we'll go over the title at the time. It's not a book group thing. I'm not going to have people go out and read the book and then have any sort of discussion about it. It's going to be kind of in-depth thing, a recommendation, if you will, whether or not that, you know, the book would be helpful. So make sure to tune in next week to hear our first book review. And we won't be doing one every week, most likely, but probably once a month. Also next week, we're going to be discussing the Linux operating system. For those of you that have been on Windows all your life, the thought of using Linux might be somewhat distressing. In fact, I myself have not had too much Linux experience and have only gotten into it recently. And so let me tell you what, folks, if you go online and you go to a search engine and just put in the term Knoppix, it's K-N-O-P-P-I-X, there's a free distribution of Linux right now that you can burn onto a CDR, you know, onto a CD recordable disk, and you can put it in your laptop, any laptop, I don't care if it has Windows, Macintosh, whatever laptop it is, as long as it has a CD-ROM drive. You put it in the CD-ROM drive, you turn the laptop on, and it's going to load the Linux operating system onto your, you know, not onto your computer, but it's just going to load it on the laptop, and you'll have full access to all these programs and the entire operating system, but it doesn't put anything on your hard drive. It doesn't overwrite your existing hard drive or data. So I've actually used Knoppix a number of times to test out some of our wireless equipment to make sure that it's compatible with Linux or to see how it interacts with Linux. And I found out that some of this hardware that we carry, such as the Orinoco Gold cards, which we've talked about before on this program, are what is they're called natively supported by Linux. That means the drivers are built in. So you put in the Orinoco card, and unlike Windows, even XP, where it, you know, automatically detects and installs a card, in Linux it just automatically works. There's no driver installation. There's no pop-ups asking you to confirm. It just automatically works. There's a program to choose your connection, your wireless access point. It's really nice to use a natively supported card on Linux. And so, you know, next week we're going to start talking in more depth about Linux and also recommending some of the different wireless cards we have. We're going to be doing some tests and also test out some of the store-bought cards, even some cards that we don't carry because we know that customers aren't always looking to order online. Perhaps you're in a time crunch and you, even though you'd like to buy from us, you know, you just need to go down to the store and get it because you need wireless access right away. So we're going to go in and review some of the store-bought cards and see if they're Linux compatible, see if they're natively supported. And I know some folks might be thinking, well, hey, well, you know, can't I just find this information out on a search engine? I'm sure it's already out there. You know, the funny thing is when we write up our product descriptions online, and some of you may have seen this, there's a lot of conflicting information out there in terms of what products work, what are supported, what versions of Linux and things of that nature. So when we get into discussing these things in the weeks coming, by no means is my are my results a definitive guide. I'm not, you know, going to say, well, if it works here, then, you know, it's going to work for you and everybody else on all operating systems, you know, all Linux operating systems. So, you know, there's the information is still going to conflict, but what we hope to do is to be able to set up some test scenarios that we can recommend to our customers. So, you know, if you're interested, you could get a cheap laptop with a very small hard drive and just run Knoppix, you know, and because it's got the, in fact, it's got the OpenOffice.org software suite, which is the same software suite we distribute built in. So, if you need a laptop just to do documents, spreadsheets, and presentations, all you would need is Knoppix. So we'll be going more into detail about that next week. But today, we've already taken up quite a bit of time, in fact. So today I'd like to get right down into our discussion about net neutrality. And the first question is, what is net neutrality? Well, it's a piece of legislation, and it's being strongly advocated by large companies. I'm not going to name any specifically, but the purpose behind it is to break up the internet into tiers and into different categories. And faster, better service will be provided to businesses that pay the most money. So you'll have, in essence, a really fast internet, and you'll have slower, you know, you'll have a slower internet, like a second tier, which, you know, businesses or websites that don't have the money to pay for access to the fast internet will have to settle for. Now, on the surface, it may seem like no big deal. Okay, some websites are going to be a little bit faster than the others, right? Well, if you look at the plans outlined by the telecommunications industry, there's going to be a marked difference, folks. And right now, if you've got broadband, you may be used to going to pretty much any website and getting instant, you know, pictures and text on your computer, and being able to click through, click here, and get to where you want to go almost immediately. Now, with net neutrality, you'll be able to continue to do that for these top-tier companies, for these top-tier websites. Anybody that's got a website on the top tier, large businesses, large retailers, you'll be able to continue to do that. But for smaller websites, you know, MySpace websites, perhaps, I'm not sure if they would pay for top tier or not. But for smaller websites, for your personal homepages, for smaller businesses, it's going to be more like cruising through at dial-up speeds. Pictures aren't going to load right away. You click on the category link to go to a certain product category, and it's not going to load right away. It's going to take time. And ultimately, I mean, if you're like me, if you go to a website now that's on a very slow server and the website doesn't load, you get frustrated. You're so used to getting this data, you know, almost instantaneously, that when you get to a website where you've got to wait 30 seconds between page loads, why even bother? You know, you start to wonder, is it even worth buying from this company? I don't know. Let me just back up and go to a different website. So that's the problem with net neutrality, in that you're going to have these tiers, and a lot of websites, the content data access is going to be very restricted in terms of speed. And again, on the surface, you say, oh, well, you know, I mostly buy from Amazon.com or eBay anyway, and these sites are pretty fast. Well, the problem is that one of the reasons that retail prices have gone down, folks, on so many of these larger websites is that they've got competition from a lot of small websites. Anybody can go to, you know, a company like Pro Stores from eBay or set up OS Commerce. They can just get an e-commerce retail package and put it up online with a hosting plan that they pay $10 a month for and start selling products. And if you go to eBay, you'll notice that a lot of sellers, including us, we happen to be a power seller, they have their own websites where they also channel products. They also sell products. And they, you know, even though we're still considered small businesses, it's this type of pricing that has attracted consumers. And consumers say, well, I'm not going to shop at these larger retail outlets online because I can get a better deal if I go to some of these smaller companies. Well, with this net neutrality, folks, with this much slower internet access to these smaller sites, what's going to happen is that, you know, sites, I won't say sites like ours, because, you know, we haven't, you know, determined yet if we would be on the upper tier or on the low tier, but a lot of these smaller sites would not be able to afford the cost, because, you know, you're talking a lot of money and possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to get into these top tiers. And if you're not in the top tier and customers can't load your website, they can't visit your website at a fast speed, you're going to lose business. You're going to lose sales. And let's just face it, companies are going to go out of business over this. Small businesses, young entrepreneurs, old entrepreneurs, pretty much anyone with a small business online, they're going to fight to stay alive. And what does that mean for you, the consumer? What does that mean for the people that, you know, for you folks out there that want to get the best deal, and that, you know, in a capitalist society are really entitled to the best deal, because that's what markets are, you know, where supply meets demand, where the, you know, where you can get that perfect price. With this net neutrality, these online companies going out of business, do you think these retailers are going to continue to offer the same low prices they've been forced to offer because of the competition? Of course not. We all know that when competition goes down, prices go up. When you've got a lot of players in the market, there's a lot of, you know, competition based on price, and prices go down. It's a wonderful thing for consumers to have competition. When the competition goes away, the people that pay are the consumers, that are the taxpayers, that right now are doing very well. Taxes are high, but, you know, incomes are pretty good. The economy's not doing too bad. You know, we've all got, or, you know, we know what we all don't have, but, you know, a lot of people have money to spend. Things look okay. Prices are pretty good. You're used to paying a certain amount for a product. That can go away pretty quickly. And aside from pricing, just the simple tasks that you like to do, web surfing, going online to search engines and visiting kind of niche sections of the internet, you know, unheard of sites, interesting data sites, they're going to go down as well. There's a whole other argument against net neutrality having to do with free speech as well. But like I said, I didn't want to make this segment too political. but just to touch on that, right now, if you want to set up your own weblog and post your views about the world, anybody can reach you at the same speed they could reach a popular political site or website. With net neutrality, they're not going to be able to visit your site as fast. And let's face it, traffic isn't going to be there. People aren't going to go to the sites that they have to wait to load. So what can you do about it? That's the question that I think is asked a lot. It's being considered right now by Congress. The most important thing you can do is voice your opinion and let your congressman know. And I know that seems a little old-fashioned and a little bit silly to suggest that you write your congressman. I mean, after all, do our congresspeople, do they even read these letters anymore? Or is it just some intern that sends out a, you know, quick thank you response? To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm sure some congressfolk read the letters. Others probably discard them. But what I do know is that these people want to get elected and they want to get reelected. And, you know, in order to get elected, they have to listen to their constituents at some point. If they ignore what their constituents tell them, if they don't do the bidding that that the people that voted them in sent them to do, they're not going to be in Congress very long. So what I would urge you to do is to write a letter to get involved, write a letter to the editor about this, and let your representatives know that this simply is anti-competitive, and it's going to hurt small businesses, and it's going to hurt you as a consumer. Folks, let them know that. And I think, you know, just one person, if I write a letter, if you write a letter, yeah, I mean, it's not going to make a difference. But I think if enough people get excited about this and take this up as an issue and let their representatives know how they feel about it, I think it can go away. I think we can prevent this legislation from being passed. But the media is not picking up on it. It's not a big issue. The biggest issue, we've got Iraq, we've got terror, we've got all these other issues. The media isn't focusing on it. Most Americans, I would bet, don't even know what net neutrality is. So also tell other people about it. Do some more research. Go online. Pump it into a search engine. If you've got a favorite newspaper, even if it's a local newspaper, you can go to the newspaper, and if you type in net neutrality, you can search the newspaper and see all the articles that they've got on the specific topic. So do some more research about it. You may find some other interesting aspects that I haven't discussed today that will motivate you to help get this passed. And look, some people may do some more research and decide, well, you know what, I like this act and I want to get it passed. And that's fine, because that's what our political system is about, having debate and discussion and disagreements. But above all, get involved. Don't let these people in Washington make decisions that impact you directly for you. Don't let them make decisions without your input, you know, because you've sent them to office and your input is what guides this country forward. So folks, take this issue up, and I hope, you know, this is probably the last I'll talk on it. I don't, you know, plan on doing a weekly political segment or anything of that nature, but I just felt that this impacts small businesses and our consumers, our customers, so much that it's something we just needed to bring to the forefront. So thank you very much for listening to that. And you know what, send me some emails about your thoughts on net neutrality and perhaps what you've done to spur the issue forward, and we can read some of those emails next week online. And don't forget, October 3rd, we've got Rockland Office Suite Version 4 launching, and next week we'll have our first book review and also some new exciting information on using Orinoco cards and other wireless cards on the Linux operating system. Thanks very much, folks. We'll see you next week.